Section 1. What is the purpose of anxiety? Chapter 1. The chief end of everything. Start with Scripture. Romans 11, verse 36. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Psalm 73, verse 25. Core Principle 1. God has a purpose for all things in our lives, even anxiety. If the chief end of man is to glorify God, then we can trust that our anxiety is doing something for our good and God's glory. Downtown Chicago, middle of the night, just a kid in his 20s. My producer and I had just finished recording on Chicago's WNBI radio station. That was the best time to record, during his late night shift. After wrapping up our work, we shared a few laughs, said our goodbyes, and I caught the last train from Union Station to my suburban apartment. I remember little of anything after the conductor punched my ticket. I was exhausted. I was slouching and soon sound asleep. The train has a way of rocking me to La La Land as if I were an infant back in my mother's arms. Trains do that sometimes. Honestly, that train ride might have been some of the best sleep I've had in my life until the conductor's voice shook apart my slumber. "Son, you gotta get off. Last stop." My eyes snapped awake and I frantically found my bearings. Nothing looked familiar. This wasn't my stop, not even close. That's when I saw the name on the station. It was nowhere near my home. Two questions raced to the front of my mind. Where am I? And how did I get here? How I got there was obvious. A bit of REM sleep combined with a racing train will eventually take you anywhere you never intended to be. When I realized where I was stuck in a state of confusion and quickly rising panic. I knew I was on the last train of the night. I had slept until the end of the line and missed my stop by miles. There weren't any more trains running for at least 5 hours. Oh, and did I mention that it was winter outside? As the train came to its usual screeching halt, I looked frantically for the conductor. He was standing outside the door a few cars down. "Sir, I missed my stop back at Palatine. What should I do now?" What did I expect him to say? Maybe I thought he'd say, "No problem, son. I'll whip this train around and we'll take you back." Not even close. His cold reply still sticks in my mind. "The next train headed that way is 5:47 a.m. There was no, "I'm sorry to hear that," or "good luck," or "stay warm." Nothing. Just a simple train schedule as factual and cold as the one hanging on the wall behind him. After standing at the station for a few minutes, still half asleep, confused, and frankly, lost, I realized I had no choice but to walk home. I followed the tracks, figuring I would either make it home before the train started again, it would pick me up on its first run, or the conductor would feel some remorse when he passed my frozen corpse in the morning. I found myself on a journey that was unplanned, uncertain, and unwelcome. What track am I on? And what's my destination right now? Anxiety can feel a lot like that late-night train ride to nowhere. As we grapple with the overwhelming emotions, we can question the purpose of our struggle and the end goal of all this chaos. As a follower of Christ, I believe all things work together for my good and God's glory. But to be honest, when I contrast that truth with my anxiety, worry, and panic, I don't find comfort. If God's supremely in control, then why does He allow anxiety to invade my heart? Doesn't He care? Doesn't He see that I'm headed towards the wrong destination, facing a bitterly cold journey back to the warmth of home? Doesn't it sometimes seem like His response is as cold and indifferent as the conductor's? It can be confusing at best how a good God would allow this chaotic emotional state to hijack my journey. That doesn't sound like a good God at all. A gathering of Puritans wrote the Westminster Shorter Catechism in the 1600s. They took the 39 articles of the Westminster Confession and reframed them into a more specific set of doctrines meant to be easily understood and accessible to all. The Shorter Catechism, comprised of 107 questions and answers, was designed to educate everyday people in matters of doctrine and unbelief. The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, "What is the chief end of man?" This is probing. If we're honest, we have all asked this question before, but probably not with those same words. We may ask questions like, "Why am I alive? What is my purpose? Where is this thing headed?" The Shorter Catechism answers the question by stating, "Man's chief end is to glorify God and fully enjoy Him forever." If the end of the line for us is to glorify God forever, then we can safely assume every emotion and stop along the way are helping us awaken our purpose. Is it possible that even our anxiety, that throat-constricting, pulse-racing, headache-inducing, feet-freezing grip on our hearts, is allowed into our lives to help us know our purpose? When I began to write this book, I wanted to discover a way to make my anxiety end. Be gone from me, you evil feelings! I wanted to know if there was a purpose behind my pain. Instead, my search for anxiety's end led me to discover a different kind of end. The end that God designed far before my existence. I was very familiar with the Westminster Shorter Catechism. I knew the chief end of all things was for me to bring glory to God and enjoy Him forever, including celebrating Him through my emotions. But how could that possibly be true for my anxiety? The purpose, the goal, the chief end of my anxiety is to bring glory to God. While that doesn't exactly feel like a cup of chicken soup for the soul, there is some comfort that comes in knowing that God has a purpose in my pain. I've accepted that I may never find the true end of my anxiety. It comes in waves, ebbing and flowing, sometimes worse than others. I know there may still be tsunamis of anxiety cresting over me, but I can rest assured that God is working out His intentions. Even amid the anxious feelings, I can trust Him completely. I must strive to use my worry, depression, panic, and fear to drive me to glorify God even more. We find the secret to bringing God glory at the end of the statement, enjoy Him forever. We glorify God by finding joy in the Lord amidst the pain and pleasures of life. When you're sitting in the ashes and rubble of your life, surrounded by the smoldering embers of your decisions or whatever life's thrown your way, even though hope seems totally lost, there can be peace in knowing all of this is for some greater purpose. When we find joy couched in the suffering, we are on the path to fulfilling our chief end. Finding the end of anxiety begins with trusting that God's chief end is best. Joy flows from faith. Joyful is not a word I would use to describe my anxiety. We define joy as great pleasure, happiness, even fulfillment. Not at all how it feels when you're gripped by anxiety. That's not the prevailing feeling when my stomach lodges itself in my throat and my heart is beating out of my chest. However, the Bible seems to convey that we can have joy and should have joy always and forever. See Psalm 145. In times of great anxiety or any other circumstance, sometimes the feeling of great pleasure and happiness can be difficult to find. Yet when I am in a panic, I can still have joy because joy is a state of mind, not a state of emotion. I can have joy even if I don't have happiness. I can have joy even if I don't have peace. Why? Joy flows from faith and relies on God no matter the circumstances. John Piper defines Christian joy as, quote, a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world, end quote. Two elements are critical here. First, true joy is produced only by the Holy Spirit. Second, joy leads us to see the beauty of Christ in our broken world. At the end of the day, joy is a shift in perspective, not a change in circumstances. We can look at biblical examples like Job's suffering or Joseph's time at the bottom of the well or in a prison cell and observe how right suffering can lead to greater joy. Their circumstances didn't change, but their perspective did. Paul was quick to point out that we can have joy during our suffering, and he encourages us to rejoice in the Lord always. See Philippians 3:1 or 4:4. To rejoice is to renew joy, no matter the situation we find ourselves in. Rejoicing is an intentional act to inspire our soul with greater confidence and trust in God. The very fact that our joy needs renewal means that it can and will be depleted. But with the help of God, we can reinvigorate our soul with faith and trust in Him, even when circumstances or emotions don't change. When my focus is on God's purpose and not my own, the end game changes. My joy comes not by the relieving of my anxiety, but by seeing God working in my anxiety. David Pallison said it well, quote, God wants us to know Him so intimately and trust Him so completely that our desire to fix our troubles in our own way will no longer consume us. End quote. God may not take away all your anxiety, but he can cultivate in you a heart of trust towards him that will help you have a deeper sense of joy in spite of the circumstances and emotions you are feeling. I saw the end and I liked it. I can remember going home from the hospital at 2 a.m. after one of my worst panic attacks. I got back into my bed only to wrestle with demons and crazy feelings until dawn. I thought I would die that night. The emotions and spiritual attack are memories I hate to even recall. At one point, I laid my head in the depths of my pillow and I started screaming out to the Lord, "Make it stop! Make it stop! Please, Lord, make it stop!" Eventually, the anxiety subsided and peace returned. I can't say I ever truly found the end of anxiety, but God found me and showed me his chief end in my anxiety. I remember lying in my bed that Saturday and having a sense of joy. It was as if God was saying to me, "Though this anxiety may never end, I am in charge of its purpose." He was working out something in me that could not be worked out otherwise. That day, my marriage grew stronger. The love for my kids grew deeper, and my dependence upon Christ grew even more steadfast. At one of the worst hours of begging the Lord through my tears to make it stop, my faithful friend Jason showed up at our house. With my wife laying on one side of me, he came and laid on the other side, gripping my hand with all his strength as I clung to his arm for dear life. Back and forth, Jason and Molly prayed for me, asking God to make it stop. God used Jason and Molly to help me find purpose and joy in the pain. Did we find the end of anxiety? No, but they helped me find God, who holds the end purpose in the palm of his hand. I saw the end goal that God had in mind, and I found joy in it. To avoid God's chief end for all mankind, including in our emotions, will only fuel our anxiety more. We are for him or against him. There is no middle ground here. See Deuteronomy 28:47. Anxiety is often fueled by our lack of trust in God. Anxiety will eat your faith for lunch if you let it. But the more we lean into the end goal of God's glory, the more anxiety's strength and presence will fade. The first key to using our spiritual identity to calm our anxiety is this: abide in God by embracing Jesus as Lord. If you will use your anxiety to strengthen your trust in our mighty Savior, not only will you find the end of anxiety, but you will also find joy in him along the journey. This results from pleasing God. He rewards those who seek him. See Hebrews 11:6. The end of the line will eventually lead you home. That night when I fell asleep on the train and found myself at the end of the line, it felt like I had unexpectedly ended up on a ride to nowhere. As I started walking in the dark, I thought I would freeze before ever finding the warmth of home again. Yet as I walked along the rail that night, I came across a glowing gas station with an on-duty police officer inside. I stepped in to get warm, only to have the officer ask me why I was walking in the middle of the night. I told him that I had fallen asleep and ended up far from home. He graciously said, "Get in the car. I'll take you home." Anxiety is like that. The journey is never something you would choose, but God has blessings to show you along the way. You may never find the end of anxiety, but you can find God's end in it. Weeping may stay the night, but joy comes in the morning. See Psalm 30:5. 3 steps toward the end of anxiety. Act. Make a list of 10 to 20 things you think God may be developing in you through this season of anxiety. Carry the list with you for the next week. Reflect on it and why a good, all-powerful God would allow you to go through this season. Then share your list with a friend. Pray. Spend some undistracted time in prayer, asking God to show you what true joy looks like in the current circumstances you're facing. Memorize. Memorize Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.